At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change. Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Woo, it's chilly out there, but it's Monday and we're ready to go. Welcome into Cabali and Mac alongside my good friend Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack. Thanks to all of you who have been checking in. The numbers once again in the month of February through the roof. Cabali. Things are going well. We got to thank our presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. teamhomes.com. You're going to buy, sell, do both a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to take care of you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the whole team, heckteamhomes.com, the presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mac. Thanks to all of you joining us on X, on Facebook, on YouTube live. What'd you do? You changed the background. Why'd you do that?
It was not jiving with my complexion.
Because if there's a guy that's worried about his complexion,
it's you. Got a fresh cut, got to show it off.
You're looking good. I like that.
This is fresh. I need a little shave, a little touch up here. But
yeah, you're looking good. Have you ever considered dyeing the hair at all? People ask me that all the time.
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah,
you have to be on top of that really early.
Yeah, you do.
You can't show up from being this to Joe Paterno.
There's a lot of reasons you can't just show up as Joe Paterno. That's a bad idea.
You would be shocked to know how many media members dye their hair.
A lot of them.
I didn't mention anybody.
Whoa! Shots fired.
He dyes his beard. I'm like, dude, your beard grows in 4 seconds. So why would you even worry about it?
Well, I was planning on asking Yoey if you wanted to come on later this week with the trade deadline being on Friday. I guess we can scratch that one for this week.
Oh, he's good the one job. He tells me he goes to Giant Eagle and gets the Just for Men. Like, you know, you could probably buy that cheaper at like Walmart or Target. But
go Dollar General. Just get some shoe polish.
I bleached my goatee maybe 25 years ago. Then when it grows out, I look like Cody Rhodes, you know? It was weird.
Did you do that back in high school? Put some sun in your hair when you went to the beach, when you went down Ocean City?
I don't think I.
Squeeze a little bit of the lemon juice in your hair to lighten it up while you're in the sun?
No.
That was a big mid-90s move.
That's a big Baldwin thing.
I don't know. I heard they did it out in Bell Vernon, too. That's what I heard. So you dropped a 7-round mock draft like seconds before the show starts. I had no time for us or plan for us to talk about that, but we might have to now. Massive elimination chamber. We have to talk about the Cena heel turn. And the Steelers fell short on maybe a trade. I don't know how serious they were about it or not, but we can get into all that. Oh, and the combine. Did you sit around and watch dudes playing football in shorts this weekend at all?
As limited as I can. You know what's very good about that now is you can just go online and you're like, Luther Burden's in two minutes and 15 seconds. There's your entire combine. I see what I need to see.
My son wanted to do that yesterday morning. He wanted to just scroll through YouTube and watch combine clips of the quarterbacks. So we did that for a little bit. I laughed at Will Howard sucking. It was hilarious.
Come on.
What?
Howard throws some 3 to 4 bad passes, but he had a spectacular season. I mean, I would defer to the season rather than the combine throws.
I usually would, too. We can argue about the combine later if we have time. But I think Will Howard was a product of his offensive coordinator and his very talented wide receiving core at Ohio State. But that's a topic for later.
Sounds like somebody who may have went to a Big Ten college who's a little sour.
What am I sour for? They didn't.
When's the last time Penn State beat Ohio State?
It's been a bit. Okay. Been a little while. Coming up on 10 years or so. Anyway, we could talk about that. I wanted to start with this before we get into the elimination chamber stuff. Debo goes to Washington. You'd been a big proponent of going after Debo if you could get him on the cheap. It doesn't sound like it was cheap, though. Not that the fifth round pick is necessarily crazy, but the Commanders are going to take on all $17.5 million of his cap hit this year.
Yeah, that's probably the stickler right there, right?
Yeah.
Who cares about the fifth round pick? They gave up a fifth round pick for Mike Williams.
Yeah, and then failed to use him other than one play in Washington. So would you have given up a fourth round pick for Debo if it meant the Niners would have eaten some of the salary?
Maybe. I mean, it's hard right now because the timing of it's 10 days. They got out ahead of it. I mean, do you go after Debo, who has some question marks, really hasn't had a more than one really good season? I think he's talented. I think he could help this team. But do you hold back and say, hey, maybe there's somebody better? Or did you learn from last year that maybe there isn't somebody better at that point? I think the timing might have hurt him. If this would have been a week from now, obviously a week from now because it's tampering period, that it might have been different. But I can't sit here and say that they screwed up or they did right until we figure out the final plan here.
I had no problem with going after Debo with a third-day pick like Washington ended up doing, but not eating all of the cap hit because Debo, I think, once it, I don't know if he's ever played a full 16 or 17-game season. Like, I don't – he's had a couple 15-game seasons, but he's always dinged up. He's always less than 100%, it seems like. He's always on the injury report, and it's because you got a guy who's – admittedly, he's strong, right? Like, he's 6 foot, 215, 220, depending on how in shape he is when he shows up for camp, which is debatable. But, like, he's a strong dude. He can take hits, but – when you get used like a running back and you're built like a wide receiver, which I think he is, then you're just not built to withstand all that physical punishment sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to what you're saying.
What are you busy doing over there?
No, I was clicking on the comments to see how many times Justin's tweeted or texted us, messaged us already, not knowing, and it's only been three. So I was confused.
Justin's busy. He's all over the show. I think Justin may have been one of the people who the last couple of weeks when we did Kabali and Mac after dark was happy to join late at night, but also was dying for the regular schedule to come back. He was one of those he's highly involved in the comments. And we appreciate people like Justin who are highly involved in the comments. So if you want to jump in as well, feel free.
I think I know what you're talking about, though. The thing I worry about now is maybe – 5, 7 days from now, you do look back and say, man, they screwed up with this Debo thing. They could only got him for a fifth round pick and $17 million. That might not be bad. 1 year contracts aren't terrible. It's 1 year.
Yeah, it's 1 year and the cap's going up a big number too. But I think I'd rather use that money if I'm going to use $18 million in the wide receiver room, use that and then some to like make a legit run at like a Chris Godwin for a couple.
You have here's another Penn Stater. Okay, but it's too lame.
I can't help it. They produce Penn State. You know, they produce decent wide receivers.
You'd have two lame duck wide receivers, 1A and 1B, then, right? I don't know if that's the best.
If you brought Debo in,
yeah,
that's a good point too. You don't need that. You don't need to try and rebuild the receiver room in 1 year and then have half of it leave again
and have
365 days. Yeah. And then not have a quarterback. And I think the move is to go after someone legitimate in free agency and maybe in the first round, as you suggested in your first full 7-round mock draft that you just posted on X a few minutes ago, where you say it's Luther Burden, 21st overall out of Missouri.
So fluid, man. I'm sure that free agency would dictate some of that. Maybe not a ton, but a little bit. And just how the draft board would break, you know, if you got some big stud defensive lineman at 21. I don't know if I'm going Luther Burden at that point, right?
Yeah, defensive line is deeper than wide receiver in this draft, though, right? So you might be able to still get a good defensive lineman in the second round, but like you have, what's his name? Is it? You don't think you can get a good defensive lineman in the second round?
Well, if you're going 21 overall, you better get as sure bet as you can possibly think.
Yeah, you better get the next Cam Hayward, right?
Yeah, I mean, 21, you better say, hey, we're sure of this guy, their last 10 drafts, do they have anybody on their roster who's a first-round pick? I mean, minus the ones who are still under rookie deals. I don't know.
I think
TJ, maybe.
TJ.
Cam and TJ might be it from 2011 on, first-round picks. You got Edmonds, Burns, Najee.
Yeah.
April-ish, I guess.
And in the last episode, someone corrected me on YouTube, and I got to thank them for the correction. I said that Najee was an Omar pick. Najee was not. He was the last Colbert first-round pick. Here nor there. The sentiment remains the same. They have not exactly nailed it on skill position players in the early rounds of the draft, in the late Colbert, early Omar era. How about that? Is that generalized enough?
Pickett, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, and we could argue whether Pickens is working out or not right now, like physically on the field. Okay, great. When he runs his routes and finishes plays and the ball's thrown to him. Otherwise, meh. I don't know. So, yeah, that feels like, you know, you're right. If there's a stud D lineman who falls that far, you jump on it. But I think it's more than likely you have your choice of wide receiver there, Burden, Egbuka, and you take one of them, and then you come back around to one of those D linemen. Like you have Walker from Kentucky, Deion Walker.
Big monster. What a monster that guy is, right?
6'7". There are some linemen in this draft, offensive and defensive, who are just – massive human beings, like 6'7", 6'8".
Freaks. There's like, it's like Shaq Diesel, baby, actually being a defensive lineman.
Yeah, it's
– who can move. Right. Shaq in his prime, you know?
Yeah. So, sorry, Pickett was Colbert's last first-round pick. Thank you,
Mark. Well, you know, Omar was pretty much
– yeah.
I would say that he made the pick – but he was highly involved because they knew he was going to be the GM at that point.
Formalities, Marshall and Justin are correct, and everyone else who says that's Colbert's last first-round pick, you are correct. Formalities, you are absolutely right. And I don't mind being corrected because there's nothing wrong with people telling you you're wrong when you're wrong. Got to thank Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake we sent you. You want to get the yard fixed up just in time for spring. It's freezing cold out there today. It's going to rain all day tomorrow probably. I don't know. That's total guess because it's March in Pittsburgh. And if it's not raining today, then it will probably rain tomorrow. Your yard will be a mud pit. You don't want to worry about taking care of it, getting the grass to grow, cutting it in the summer, watering it, all that kind of stuff. Why do you have a rubber duck?
You're talking about a lot of water, so.
Okay. Fair. Little rubber ducky action. You won't need it, though, when you have Southwest Greens. That's the best part. The lawn's going to be beautiful. Best-looking lawn in the neighborhood. You won't have to water it. You won't have to mow it. They install it. They take care of everything. Even if you just want a little corner of the yard where maybe you do some putting to get ready for your golf game on the weekend. Maybe you want a little play area for the kids, a pet area. It's all good. Pets can go on it. It's artificial grass. Doesn't matter. Pets can go on it. Cleans right off just like real grass. It's fantastic. SouthwestGreensPA.com. They're busy getting people ready for the spring. They'd like to get you ready as well.
Yeah, I heard we said last time they're pretty booked up, huh, man? You better get on that call.
Yeah, absolutely. They're slammed for like the next month and a half, Jake was telling me. So that's
You wait.
You guys thought that old Cabali and Mac wasn't going to get it done, and then people start taking care of each other, and that's what we like to hear. Like I have Impact HVAC coming over later. They're supposed to be here in like an hour. Yeah, woke up this morning, furnace broke. Well, maybe not broken, but like the heat wasn't running. So,
well, you should have told him come a little early, jump on the pod.
Maybe we'll see when he gets here. If he gets here, maybe they jump right in.
Well, he have enough room in your little. We have enough room in your little corner thing there.
Yeah, that's sure.
What's behind door number one there, by the way? I've always wondered.
Ironically enough, the furnace. You want to see?
Really? So he would be there.
right there. You see the furnace and the water
heater. I
see
the problem right now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you gonna fix it for me?
Yeah, I'm gonna call up.
You're gonna call Impact HVAC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now if he comes right now, we have to shut the podcast down.
No, we don't have to shut it down.
He can just work behind you.
He can work right behind the door. That's why the door is there. That's why we built the room, so that I'm not sitting here with a furnace behind me. Okay.
You know what? I went to South Hills Village on Saturday and I messaged you. If it wasn't 7 trillion people there, I would have went in to saw the guys at first and goal.
Yeah, you should have.
An amazing amount of people. I guess I screwed up going at like 3 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm like, forget this.
Is this a tradition you and the boy have where you have to get him a new WWE figure every time there's a PLE? Oh,
you know what? I found a better option now. Rather than go to Target, there's a collectible store right in Library Dormont.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Area. And they just got buckets and buckets full of loose toys and wrestling figures. He dove into their head first, man.
Really?
Yeah, like a couple bucks each.
Old school, too?
He looks at me and says, yeah, the face scan's not good on this one. I'm like, huh?
The face scan? What do you mean?
I guess when the older school ones, when they did the face scan,
it doesn't really look like that. Like you find an old Roddy Piper, it doesn't really look like Roddy Piper. It just looks like a random face.
He went with old Bray Wyatt. He went with DX with Shawn Michaels and Trips. Went with Sami Zayn, and I think he found the Goldberg he was very happy with.
I saw you post that. He was excited about the Goldberg?
Yeah, all 5 of them were like 15 bucks or something.
Jeez, look at that. How's he doing? Since we're talking about this now, let's get into Elimination Chamber. How's he doing, the kiddo, with the Cena heel turn? I know you posted that he was very upset.
He was happy at first, then he turned and he sat on the couch and just wouldn't say anything for about an hour. And now he's like, I don't care. I don't care. I like Thuganomics.
So it doesn't matter what Cena does, he's all in on it.
The funny thing is he's a big Cody guy. So I don't know how he's balancing that.
He's not going to be able to. He's got about a month and a half to get it together and figure out what he's going to do.
I told him to be a heel himself today at school. It was that they wear a hat day. I said, why don't you wear your John Cena hat?
Why not?
He didn't do it.
Did he wear one at all? What did he go with?
Yeah, he wore a St. Patrick's Day little one. I'm like, what are you doing?
No, that's no
good. He said, well, this is silly, but what a wrestling event of the ages.
41 days now until, WrestleMania 41. How about that? You like that, Kaboom?
It's almost like 40 days and 40 nights of Lent.
Yeah, it's pretty much on the same timeline, right? Because when's Lent start? Wednesday, right? The 5th?
Wrong person here. It's not like my kids went to Catholic school for 4 years.
Yeah, no, same. Not like I didn't go for a little bit, too. Ash Wednesday is this week. So Lent will start. Yeah.
What about Shrove Tuesday?
Fat Tuesday.
Is that where you eat pancakes or something?
That's where you eat whatever you want, man. It's Fat Tuesday.
I know there's a lot of pancakes going on.
Yeah. So let's go chronologically here. Because I want the Kaboom breakdown on everything we got during Elimination Chamber. I'll be honest. The Jade Cargill coming out at the beginning of the Women's Chamber, other than, the whole Cody, Cena, Rock thing at the end, might have been the highlight of the night. I mean, she goes ham on Naomi, just absolutely beats the hell out of her, slams her head in the cage door. Bianca's losing her mind in the pod. This sets up really nice that Bianca, of course, wins the women's elimination chamber. She'll face Rhea Ripley, most likely. You can bring Io Sky out there for part of the stare down if you want, because they got a match tonight, don't they? Is it tonight? on Netflix. It'll be Io Sky against Rhea. The winner will face Bianca at WrestleMania. I mean, give the people Bianca Belair against Rhea Ripley. That's what they want. The only problem is there's no real badass heel in that matchup. People want to root for Rhea. They want to root for Bianca. Nobody gets booed in that match.
Unless it's revealed within the next couple of weeks that Bianca was behind the beating of Jay Cargill. It was all a work on her part because she was jealous of her.
Maybe. Or did Jade come out and beat the snot out of Naomi because she's mad that she's trying to steal her tag team title out from under
you? Just don't know. You know what they call that in the biz? Storytelling.
Oh, is that what Paul calls it? Storytelling.
Storytelling, baby.
All right. So
Liv Morgan just
got the hell beat out of her.
You know what? She's turned in from a mid-carder, I would say, about within a year to being a main eventer. I mean,
absolutely. My love for Liv Morgan is documented on this show.
Oh, it was Tiff.
Both. But the picture she posted yesterday morning of the bruises up and down her arms and the whip marks on her back from Bianca whipping her with the hair, she's a badass. I'm sorry. She's a certified bet. She does a great job of playing the weak-kneed heel and running and crying and all that kind of stuff, but she's a certified badass in the ring. I don't know what they do with her at Mania, though. That's the problem, is you've got Bianca and Rhea, and then it felt like the other three, Bayley and Roxanne Perez and Alexa Bliss, there's something to work out between those three. But I don't know what you do with Liv.
Okay. I hope it's not a tag match.
I think it's going to be.
But it was a good match. It was a good match. I don't know about that tag team match after that.
That was a filler. I mean,
it's doing always Trisha solid.
Yeah, I mean, doing Trisha solid in Toronto and all that. And Tiffy, they are really pushing the hell out of Tiffy now, which is great because she's got the talent, she's got the looks, all that. But
she got the most beautiful moonsault too.
Yeah, the prettiest moonsault. So they that was a decent, filler match. Tag team, Nia Jax gets beat. That's all well and good. The KO Sammy match, good, a decent amount of brutality. Randy Orton comes out at the end, sets up Kevin Owens and Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
Yep, that's a good one.
Just as you called it.
Yep, just like then you got the men's chamber, which you have to wonder if it was by happenstance that Seth Rollins took out Punk, or maybe the final boss got to him too. Because, the whole plan goes awry if Cena doesn't win the chamber. Maybe he gets Rollins, says, hey, man, you want to come join us? You want to be with us? You take this guy out. You have Cena win, and I can do what I got to do.
Well, what's interesting to me about the men's chamber is McIntyre, Priest, and Paul all go out relatively quickly in pretty quick succession, right? So they split it into threes, and they get those three out of the way. It seems to me like they're starting to detach McIntyre from the Punk storyline, starting to push him more in the direction of Priest and maybe Logan Paul, and those three may have a match at Mania for who just because McIntyre does a great job of building up storylines and being a wonderful heel. And then at the back half of the match was Rollins, Punk, Cena, obviously, which they did a great job of. But I think it obviously builds toward Rollins and Punk at Mania. And the question then is, what's the favor? When is Punk going to ask Paul Heyman of the favor? Does it involve Roman Reigns? How does it involve Reigns? And how does it tie all the way back in to the bloodline and the final boss?
Yep. That's why we got 7 weeks to figure this all out. I mean, let me tell you something. Obviously, it's the road to WrestleMania is right now. I couldn't tell you how many people has already told me, man, I got to get back watching this, man. I'm watching Raw tonight.
Yeah.
And jumping back in. Something like this has really piqued a lot of people's interest even more.
Well, I will say this, and this is the thing that kind of bugged me about the immediate aftermath of Cena turning on Cody and everything that happened at the end of the PLE on Saturday night is immediately people jump to try and find a comparison, right? Because, you know, it's hard to compare it to something that you've seen before because it really is a once in a lifetime kind of thing. Cena was going to be a face forever. He was never going to turn heel. And he finally did during his farewell tour. It's a big moment. I get it. We don't need to rush to compare it to Hogan turning heel in 96 and NWO. Like that, as crazy as the Cena heel turn may seem to some, it's still not even on that level. Maybe it's just a generational thing. I don't know. But nothing will ever top Hogan dropping the leg on Macho and being the third man at Bash at the Beach.
But this is a lot different. What was it, 97, right?
97?
96. 96. You're looking somewhere between 15 and 16 years left in Hulk Hogan until his final match. Got about 8 months left in John Cena's career. So this, the finality of the John Cena thing, I think makes it totally different, right? I mean,
right. It's different on a number of different levels. You're right. Like, it's much closer to the end of his career, so it's going to be a lot harder for Cena post-career to reclaim that babyface heat because he's gone full heel now with only, like you said, 8 months left in the farewell tour. Totally adds up that it's completely different from Hogan in that way. Hogan got a whole second run out of that when he was still not in his prime, but, you know, was still able to draw the kind of heat despite being limited in the ring that he did. But I guess my point is, like, it can be its own thing. And that's what I think is great about this is that, like you said, this has drawn back in maybe the ruthless aggression generation, people who had gotten away from. I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan during that time frame at all. Like, I just was not a fan of the ruthless aggression Cena era. I wasn't. It was too cartoonish for someone in their 20s who was just coming off of the DX and NWO and the Attitude Era. It felt babyish, so I wasn't a big fan of it. Got away from it for a long time. This draws me back in as a fan because it's The Rock. It's the Attitude Era. It draws the Ruthless Aggression Era fan back in with Cena, and now you've got the modern day fan as well. It's really tied. So many things are being tied together in the way they're building this storyline. It is, to your point, it's storytelling.
You have three superstars. I would almost put Cody in that superstar range right now.
Absolutely.
That you are familiar with or different, have different roles right now than when you remember them. You know, the heel Cena, from The Rock, from, you know, the goofy catchphrases to the final boss corporate guy to Cody being, you know, whatever he's going to end up being, which should be different. But I think the interesting part is going to go moving forward is, can John Cena make us believe he's the bad guy?
I think he's capable.
And is he believable?
I think why dropping the mic in the post-match press conference and just walking around stone-faced works is because when Cena talks, people cheer. Cena, you know, like the doctor of thugonomics, you know, people cheer for that. They like it. As cheesy and corny as it is, that's why they love Cena. The more Cena just goes around and honestly doesn't come back all that often, comes back once a month, kicks somebody's ass on The Rock's behalf, and then disappears again, more than likely Cody each time. I think it's better.
That's going to help. He's not going to be in every week, every day occurrence. He's going to pop out that would, I think, be able to save that. If he has to go out there and try to be heel Cena 24/7, I just don't see it working.
No, which is why, and it also feeds into the corporate thing where the Hollywood heels, I think I saw someone use that term in the last 48 hours, the Hollywood heels who Cena once criticized The Rock for only coming around every once in a while has now become that guy. And, you know, I had this thought in my head last week one night when I was trying to sit there and figure out how they were going to pull this off. When I had a thought that Cena would be involved somehow, I never dreamt it to this point in a million years. I do think eventually, and did I say this to you last week? I can't remember. I was texting somebody about it. I do think eventually it will all come back around at WrestleMania 42. Don't forget, Hunter loves the long-term storytelling too. It will come back around at WrestleMania 42 to where we finally get the Cody turn, I think, where in New Orleans, which is the very same place where The Rock gave Cody the offer in the first place to give him his soul. Again, the long-term storytelling with Mania being in New Orleans next year. I think that's the long-range plan. But the other part of it is you got to just kind of sit back and enjoy it too. Like, there's things that happen that you have no idea are happening at the time, like the one, two, and the three like this that The Rock held up. The same way Heyman counted to three a couple weeks after that. The two when he did the throat slash. I mean,
Final Boss. You know, I think the Final Boss character is different and enjoyable too. You know?
Oh, it's fantastic.
The top of the level, $900 million, multi-sport, multi-talented, corporate board sitting Rock. That even the guy that runs the WWE, Triple H, can't even say anything to it.
Because it allows him to live in kayfabe while still being the movie star and the guy that he is in real life. There's enough blurring of kayfabe and the real world that it makes it a little bit, it makes it that much more believable, I should say, that, oh, The Rock is pulling the strings from behind the scenes, right? I mean, it's fantastic storytelling. And Justin, who again is our lead commenter today and is on fire, says there's one more thing that has to happen because The Rock held up the three fingers at Bad Blood, like we were just talking about. When he did the throat slash at Chamber, he held up the two fingers. I'm telling you, the long-term payoff, I think, is a year from now when he'll hold up one finger and it involves Cody turning, or maybe it involves Roman coming back closer to Mania, and that's the one finger.
I think he wants it in the family, and eventually he wants to hand it over to the fam. The Final Boss will pass it over to Roman Reigns.
Would be full circle, but Roman's in babyface territory now. I don't think, like, there's fans want to cheer for Roman Reigns right now.
How many straight years did they booed him when he was in the
right? And they've come around on it, right? Because he lost the belt and Cody's the, so I do think, again, this is the best part of it. There's multiple different ways to interpret all the different stuff that you're seeing, from the number of fingers being held up to, you know, how it plays out, the Punk Paul Heyman favor that rolls into this at some point too. It's long-term storytelling at its best.
I could do probably without Travis Scott, but
yeah, that is
funny, and it is what it is.
What are you going to do? WWE has a deal with him too, I think. So, I mean,
he shows different eyes, different kinds of eyes, a different
audience,
viewership, different audience, and that's how you grow. Right?
Yeah, you bring everybody in. You got to get everybody in under the tent, kaboom, right? And then
why do you think they show celebrities in front row constantly?
Well, yeah.
Bring them in. Anybody wants to come on in? Come on in.
Come on in, everybody. All right. So, I can't wait. What do we even know what's scheduled for Raw tonight on Netflix?
They usually start posting this stuff now, but I know Cena, he has to address this.
Does he?
He has to.
I think, like you said, though, you don't want him saying too much.
You have to. I mean, you have a chance to have a monster night.
I don't think you have him say anything. I think you just have him come out and administer another beat.
Who did that forever? I was Jericho. Would come out constantly and just never say a word. He did that for weeks.
That's what I think you got to do. The less Cena talks as one of the Hollywood heels, the better.
I'm trying to see if they posted anything yet of what's coming up for tonight. a lot of times they give you the little, well, you do got the War Raiders versus.
No disrespect to the War Raiders, obviously.
They're going up there against, what's his names? I don't even know what their names are now.
I don't know. Who?
American May. America. What the hell's her name?
Oh, the Chad Gable proteges. Yeah.
Which are two very talented wrestlers, by the way.
No, they're good. It's just, you know, it's mid-card stuff. That's, you know, you got to have that too. You can't, not everybody can be the superstar. So, but that can't be like, that can't be the main event tonight. That's, you know.
The main event's going to be.
The main event's got to be Cody coming out. And I don't know. Again, Justin, superstar commenter that he is, says Cena flew to Africa right after Chamber for a movie. So
Africa.
See, this is I
thought he was in like Holland or something doing Matchbox or whatever that was.
Whatever. He's not there tonight. Or see, this is what's going to keep it going. Is he only pops up every once in a while? When he does, it's just to help The Rock or somebody else administer a beating to Cody. You've got 6 weeks to get to WrestleMania and then get some sort of payoff. I think they're doing a real good job of it. Very, very nice work by them.
Somebody needs to address it. If it's Rock, he's not going to be there. I mean, so come on, Cody. Cena's not there. You mean it was really? Come on. What's an extra day or two? Tell the African movie to wait a day.
Tell the African movie to wait another day or two.
And we're talking about the biggest.
But Mark, it feeds into the storyline that they don't even show up. They administer the beating and then they leave because they're Hollywood now and they don't need to be there for some stinking Raw in Columbus or wherever they are.
I don't see that. I don't want Cody out there crying.
You don't want him out there.
What do you think of the F-bomb?
I'll be honest. It felt a little contrived.
But like, it got your attention.
It got my attention, but I saw it a year and a half ago when it was called Christian and Edge in AEW. And I'm not an AEW fan. I'm not. Like, I don't really watch it at all, other than when Britt Baker's actually active in wrestling. But, like, I saw it a year and a half ago when Christian told Edge the same thing. Like, I think they could have done it in a different way and still had the same holy shit kind of impact.
Oh, my kid's like, it's like yeah, that's the way it is. But I just kept saying, why is Cena in the ring? Why is Cena even here?
Didn't understand why he was there, huh?
Well, at the time, I could see the crossover or the transition. They've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Chamber would be going out and they have a promo coming in. So that wasn't unusual to have that type of transition. But then I'm thinking, why is he still in here? Why is he still in here?
Well, you got your answer, buddy.
You didn't know, you even find it weird that Cena was just in there during this promo? What does that have to do with you, buddy? Get out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what kind of first gave you the, look, I'll be honest. I got a text. When was it on Saturday morning? Hold on. I got to go back and look now. From, you know who Greg Finley is, right?
I thought it was from me sending you that Cody Rhodes clip.
No.
I might send it to you every single day for a year.
Just because?
It's spectacular. It can be used in so many different ways.
Go yourself.
Yes. Anyways.
So, our guy Greg Finley, who is a producer for KDKA Radio AM, sent me a text Saturday morning.
He call you horse?
He did not call me horse. He said something about Cena turning heel. He seen a rumor somewhere about how it could play out. And I said, you know, I didn't think anything of it. But this is kind of why I like to stay off the internet right before a big pay-per-view like this, a PLE. Because I don't want this. Like, it would have totally floored me had it happened in the moment. And I had not had an inkling of, you know, and again, I thought about Cena being involved somehow. I didn't think it would be like him turning that way.
You see the post-game presser, though, the lengths that Triple H went to keep this a secret.
Yeah. I mean,
the fact that he wouldn't even tell the prediction people until it was absolutely necessary. What did he say? He said, hey, I'm taking over communications right now. It, I mean, to that point of that's how much they protected it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because if it gets blown, things get blown in a real quick way, and then it's just not the same. But yeah, so I think they're building it up perfectly, keeping all the avenues open for all the different storylines. And it's going to be something to see the way they build up to it over the next 6 weeks. Again, I think Tony from Impact HVAC is about to be at my house to fix the furnace.
You absolutely got to get him on the whole, on the.
If he gets here while we're still talking, I will. But we only got one more thing to get to, because I mentioned the combine earlier, and I saw yesterday morning, and there's a reason he's on TV now rather than a GM of an actual football team. But I saw yesterday morning Mike Tannenbaum insinuate that Jackson Dart would not make it past like the 20th spot in the first round. You're right. I believe in what I see on the field a whole lot more than what I see at the combine. But I told you a couple weeks ago that this was going to be the guy that shot up people's draft boards after the combine, because he's the most talented quarterback there without Sanders or Ward working out. And I had an idea that this would happen, and here we go. We're starting to get it. Jackson Dart's going to start getting mocked to, I don't know, somebody in the high to mid-20s.
Yeah.
Desperate
teams. That's what I call that. At that point, you're thinking, geez, this guy's pretty decent. I have a chance to get him a 20 or 22, the Kenny Pickett syndrome. People.
Well, I will say Jackson Dart is better than Kenny Pickett. Jackson Dart is better than Kenny Pickett. And I don't say that as Penn State guy. I know you're going to fire that right back at me.
I don't think he had a better senior season than him, or final season than Kenny.
No, but I think he's a better quarterback. Like, you can look at those two things and separate them. Kenny had a really good senior season. I mean, no doubt. Nobody's arguing that. So did Jackson Dart. It was good, but not good enough, right? They didn't end up getting to the playoff.
The need for quarterbacks in this league makes him. That's why he's there, not because of his talent.
So I will agree on that point, too. Like, I don't think Cam Ward or Shador Sanders should be top five picks. Like, they're borderline first-round quarterbacks, in my opinion, if we're serious about it and not panicking for quarterbacks as teams in the modern-day NFL do, which I get. If you don't have a quarterback, how far are you going to go? We talked about that after the playoffs were over. So I think Jackson Dart, everything considered, probably should be more of a second-day quarterback. But we know that because of teams being desperate to find quarterbacks, he's going to go much higher than that. Now he's going to go somewhere in the 20s. Who drafts 21st, Mark?
I would just.
I'm not saying they should.
I would
I'm
turn
not saying they should. If he were there at 53, I'd think about it. Not at 21, but
I'd pull out the Rolex and start beating Omar with it. What are you thinking? You just did this a couple years ago. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know what? I was talking to Doran and Adam today over the fan, and they're telling me that Tyler Shuck's going to be a second-round pick.
If Tyler Shuck is a second-round pick,
I will throw off the freaking chair.
Tyler Shuck's, first of all, 37 years old.
He'll be 26, I think, in September.
Whatever. I was only off by a couple years. Second of all, he's Tyler Shuck. Like, he's going to be a backup in the NFL. Or a back-end, you know, number one. He's Daniel Jones, right? That's what he is. He's Daniel Jones. And that's okay if that's all you're looking for. Like, didn't you have him?
In the seventh. I'm thinking.
In the sixth or seventh round, right? That's the perfect place for a guy like Tyler Shuck. Take him in the sixth or seventh round and have him be your backup for the next 8 years to whoever your starter is. But he cannot be your starter. He can't go in the second round.
Just as we were talking about, he's probably going to bump up just because he's a quarterback, right? Who has some talent. So I'm still saying third day. I'm not going second day pick here. He wasn't very good at Oregon, right? Wasn't very good at Texas Tech and had a good season at Louisville.
Yeah. I mean, there are literally half a dozen quarterbacks like that in this year's draft.
What about your boy Rappaport, by the way? Derek Carr, huh? Where did I hear that at?
What are you talking about?
He said the Steelers might be interested in Derek. Somebody said the Steelers might be interested in Derek Carr.
Really?
Where did I hear? Who drafted him in the second round of our mock quarterback draft?
There's no way they're trading for Derek Carr.
NFL insider. Is that what we talk about? Or should we say that maybe I should just say big things are coming or big changes are coming and leave it at that?
You should. You'd be a little more vague and people will believe that you knew all along, no matter what it is. That's how you do it.
What about the breaking news last night and this morning about Justin Fields might be their quarterback? Jeez. It's crazy.
What?
What are we talking about here? We just regurgitate stuff and just make it a different day and act like it's new news?
Yes. Welcome to the sports media news cycle in Steelers land.
I just literally saw, it might have been on Steelers Depot, you know, big fans. They wrote, Big Ben, what did he say? Big Ben acknowledged that somebody called him after, what was that, last year or 2 years ago, somebody got hurt quarterback. I thought he's already said this about seven times.
But he said it again on his podcast. So now
it's nothing against them for writing it, but I'm just saying that didn't we already cover this?
Yeah, yeah. That's the way things work this time of year.
Just wait a couple days, do it again, and it's news.
1 week till free agency, bud. Settle in.
1 week from today, it's tampering period time.
Why don't we just call it the opening of free agency on March 10th? Why do we do this legal tampering crap? Just open it up. It's basically open anyway.
Legal tampering, that's sort of an oxymoron.
Right. So just say free agency starts on Monday.
That's like me and you having a podcast, an oxymoron.
Something about moronic.
Where's the HVAC guy at?
He's coming. He's coming. He's on his way, and he's going to get the furnace fixed. That's why we love the people at Impact HVAC.
You better check that. You better do the whole tune-up.
He's going to do the whole thing. Yeah. Make sure everything's good. Because I woke up this morning and I walked downstairs and the thermostat said it was 60 degrees in our house. No. So, yeah, that's probably not good. That's not good.
You going to Venmo them or you still write checks?
Nobody writes checks anymore. I think you're the only person that writes checks. Do you even have a Venmo?
My wife does, but you can't. It's weird. You can't link two together. So I can't use the Venmo because she's linked to our bank account. So I can't use it. But can you Venmo somebody something for me?
I'm guilty of the same thing. I don't really run the Venmo in our house. So
I don't. You know, I got my taxes done and now it's either send your check in or whatever or go online to pay. I'm like,
what's wrong with that?
All right. It's going to take me forever to figure out how to go on the
IRS. How old are you? Seriously. How old are you? You can't figure out how to pay your taxes online. You hear
that this pony pays everything through check.
Doesn't surprise
everything.
Me.
Everything. So he sits there. He might make money orders.
Does he go to the grocery store like an 85-year-old woman and sit there and write out a personal check?
You know, it might be money orders. Do they still do money orders? Remember money orders?
They do, but don't they cost like $10 to do one? Like you're wasting money, literally paying money to give someone money?
I just want to put a check in an envelope and put it in the mailbox.
Well, I'm sure you can still do that. I'm sure they'll take it if you do that.
But then I have to pay for a stamp, so.
Oh, but my God. They'll
get you on the convenience fee. What is this convenience fee?
I got to pay for a stamp. It's 70. Stamp. How much is a stamp now? Like 75 cents, probably?
95 bucks. I went to your buddy Yoli's on Sunday.
Business.
Right before WrestleMania, Chamber.
Yeah.
God's.
Delicious, wasn't it? What'd you get?
Well, you know, we went with typical wrestling food. Some hoagies, some pizza.
Nice.
I had wings last time I was there. They were the full wing.
Yeah.
I'm not a full wing guy, but it was pretty good.
Oh, they're delicious. They do a great job on the wings.
They do an unbelievable job with the hoagies, the grinders.
Everything.
A hoagie and a grinder.
Just where you're from and what you want to call it. You call it a grinder if you want.
Actually, yeah, I got some of that. Chicken parm hoagie. Woo.
That's good stuff. We got to get up there. We got to get up there for a live edition of Cabali and Mac live from Yoli's. I think we should do that.
Oh, as long as I can get some Pappy Nola.
Get some Pappy Nola. Maybe There's a maybe that's where we do the first round of the draft. Kaboom! What do you think about that?
Some of us might have to work.
You can work and do a show at the same time. I basically carry the thing for you anyway.
True. People ask me about the podcast, and I'm like, "Hey, what do you do?" I say, "I show up."
Yeah, I open my laptop, play with the background a little bit, pretend to listen for when Max starts rambling.
I have to. I get the "Are you ready yet, horse?" text. Let me take a pee first, and I'll be right there, buddy.
Well, you made it just in time today. Real quick, since I mentioned Jackson Dart and we were talking about free agency, quarterback musical chairs. If Stafford is going back to the Rams, who goes to? Let's start here. Where does Darnold go?
Sammy Darnold.
Back to Minnesota.
I think he goes to Minnesota.
Giants, Jets, Raiders.
I would think he would.
The Steelers aren't going to pay the kind of money that Darnold wants, right?
Nor should they. I mean,
I agree.
I mean, we're talking about a very short sample size, and I don't think you could take that chance, especially with the money, unless the money's decent. But I doubt that. I would say the Raiders, maybe the Raiders.
Okay.
It's tough too because they don't have a ton of offensive weapons there.
They do not.
It would probably fit well in with the Jets, which we know that's not going
to
happen.
That's not. No, there's no way he wants to go anywhere near the state of New Jersey or the city of New York ever again, I don't think. No. And I don't blame him. But that actually makes sense then. Okay, so Darnold to the Raiders. So then Minnesota just stands pat with J.J. McCarthy, you think?
Yeah.
All right. Rodgers to the Giants then? To mentor whoever they draft, if they draft one in the top three?
If he's going to go somewhere. I would say 50-50 retire at this point. But
wow.
If he doesn't find the place he wants, he can play. If he's not assured a starting job, why would he come back?
So well, he'd be assured the starting job. They tell him, you're our starter.
That's what I'm saying. He better be assured that. And maybe nobody wants him.
They're going to draft, Shador Sanders or whatever they're going to do. And that guy sits for a year behind Rodgers.
Hey, he might end up being here. So I would say.
Jesus, I can't believe you did that again. You keep doing that.
No, I'm just saying. I would never count out anything. I'm leaning towards he might not play.
Rodgers retires. Okay. Then who do the Giants get then? Russ?
Russie. No, I actually think Fields might end up going there.
The Giants? Interesting.
Giants or the Jets?
But not here.
Wouldn't it be funny if both Russ and Justin went to New York? I am still not 100% sold that Justin's going to not go somewhere else,
Oh, no, I wouldn't be surprised if you – I mean,
I would put it 50-50 right now. I mean, regardless of all the reports, I think that's what they want him to come back. But if they don't give him the correct offer, the correct assurances – it'd be crazy not to come back. So I would probably say more than like 60-40. I would lean it more towards him coming back at this point than previously, but I wouldn't say it's a deal.
So if it's 60% Fields, I'm going to do math now. Hold on. I went to Baldwin and Penn State, so I'm not good at numbers. But 60% Fields, what's Russ? Is he straight 40%? He's the Steelers quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Fields, it's Russ.
So there's no, but you said Rodgers remains a minute possibility.
Yeah, that's if.
Like
a
1% chance?
Maybe for some reason.
That's 101, Mark. That doesn't add up.
Well, I went to Bell Vernon.
So 59.
You got failed algebra 4 times?
No, you mean seriously?
College like 3 times. Yeah, it was just not good. My kids asked me to do geometry right now. I said, I can help you with the state capitals.
How many state capitals can you name?
Oh, I can probably name them all.
What? No. Come on.
Absolutely. Just pull out a random one. Just a random one. Now, were you tweeting?
No. Yeah, I'm looking it up.
You don't know.
I'm gonna test you. I want to make sure I have them right. All right. Let's go Delaware.
The greatest race, the Miracle Mile, baby. Dover, Delaware.
Arizona.
Arizona?
It's capital of Arizona. Come on.
I want to assume it's Phoenix.
It is. Louisiana.
Baton Rouge. I remember that from the Brady Bunch.
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
Vermont.
Oh, Montpelier. Huh?
Look at this.
I'm just hammering them.
Wyoming.
Cheyenne, right?
Jesus, you're good at this. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one. You won't know this one. Washington State. Capital of Washington State.
That's a good one. I want to say.
I know. So. That's why I asked you.
Washington. Somebody's going to tell me here.
No, you can't look at the comments. You can't look at the comments. It's cheating.
I'm just thinking Huskies every time. I know it's not Seattle.
Nope.
Olympia.
Damn it. What a pull. I think on that note, we got to end it. I can't get any deeper than that. You've just crushed it on state capitals, 5-5.
I don't know how to do 2X minus YZ, whatever.
I'd love to hear you make a play call in a huddle.
Nah. I would be the guy that – I would be those people that look at the sidelines with the big, you know,
Mac big and cards. Cheese. Yeah.
And picture of, like, Chef Ramsay's face or something that means something.
All right. Good work by you today. Thanks for opening the laptop and joining. Excited for Raw tonight. Maybe later in the week, we'll break that down. And I don't know. We'll see if Yoey has time between dyeing his beard to join us to talk about the NHL trade deadline. I don't know. We'll see. The Penguins might not do anything and they're a disaster anyway. So does anybody care at this point? And what happens with free agency less than a week away? A lot still to talk about. But thanks to Impact HVAC. Thanks to Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. And, of course, the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, for joining us. First and Goal Collectibles. We'll have to cook up another giveaway. We never heard from Larry, did we? We got to get Larry his plaque.
No, we should have put a little disclaimer. It needs to be claimed within 30 days.
We're gonna give Larry a good week or something, and then we might have to cook up something else.
We're going to have to give it to Justin.
Justin has been a superstar, I'll be honest. The man's all over the comments. Good work by you, Justin. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones. If they're not watching Cabali and Mac, they have no idea what they're missing. Go subscribe on YouTube, and we'll do it again in a couple days here on X, on the Facebook, and on the YouTube. Thank you.